Eucharist kind of helped me, Eucharist during worship, I think kind of helped me figure out some things going on in my life. But I saw this picture of, a picture of Hitler, you know, we know who Hitler is, right? Real distressed looking, and then this crushing blow. And this time of year, back in 1945, I think it was 44, 45, the German army was defeated already. He knew that. And so what he did is he took everything he had in his arsenal and threw everything he had at the Americans, which is called the Battle of the Bulge. You ever heard of that? And it was like a five-week thing. And right in Belgium and northern France is where this bulge in the line, you have a line of defense, right? And all of a sudden you had this bulge in the line because the German army hit in that one area everything they had. They were running out of fuel, ammunition, everything. So an enemy that knew he was already defeated did everything in his power he could to try to discourage and stop the forward advance of the troops, okay? And the enemy of our soul works in the same way, okay? He knows he's defeated. He knows he has a matter of time. But there are seasons in your life where he'll throw everything at you, right? And I tell this to my girls all the time. He's just trying to make you stop, right? And trying to do anything he can to discourage and to make you stop. Not wanting you to get the revelation. Bishop says this out of time, which I really believe now, that his number one thing to attack us is in our identity, right? And if you don't know who you are and as a victor, then he's got you. And he'll get you so caught up in warfare. And I was like that early on in my ministry. Just you can get too focused on the warfare. The warfare itself will slime you, right? And you can open up to warfare by focusing on warfare, right? And so we don't want to find ourselves. But I was thinking of these verses today, and in 1 John chapter 5, there's a few of them there in 1 John we'll look at, and then look at some stuff in Revelation. I've been thinking of this word a lot. I like that last song. Maybe the last song we sung. You know, you say I'm strong and I'm weak. You say I'm loved when I don't feel anything. And sometimes the most powerful thing God does in your life, in our lives, is done when you can't feel it, and that your emotions are detached from what God is doing. Right? That's where, as 1 Peter says, if necessary for a little while, your faith is going to be tested, because that's where. That is our victory, which we'll see in here. The point of victory for us is our faith. So our faith is going to be tested and tried. Okay? And this is what it says in 1 John chapter 5. I'll just read starting in verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Whoever loves the Father loves the child born of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and we keep or observe His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. Okay? For whatever, or whoever, is born of God, overcomes the world. Or the way that's written, have overcome, having already overcome, you've overcome it. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Alright? I mean, it's a done deal. The attack is whether you believe that or not. Our faith, trusting Him, okay? So that's going to be the target. That's going to be the battle. Which, and I really believe that's kind of a prophetic word for our church, because I believe we're coming into a time like we've never seen before, okay? Things that the Lord is going to do. The enemy doesn't know everything He's going to do, but he knows something's up, you know? Probably all the angelic activity going on here, and, you know, so he thought, all right, I'm going to stop this, you know? And I'm going to throw everything I got at them to try to make you stop, to discourage you. Okay? And again, I say this, and probably going to be one thing y'all, you know, say this. You know, he always said this, is that you don't recognize warfare as warfare. Right? He's very subtle. Gives you anything he can do to separate you, he'll do it. Your health, right? Tiredness. Hey, I don't really feel. You know, all these thoughts that'll come. Why don't you just take it easy? You ever think about that being warfare? Because our showing up is a big deal. Our coming together is a big deal. right? And the enemy always works then to isolate you. Isolation, removing you, distracting you. You know, we all know that. They're just so we're not ignorant to his schemes, thank goodness. But whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And there's a couple more verses here in 1 John that's really cool. Let's see. 1 John 4:4 is another good one. I like this in context. Starting in verse 1, we'll read 1 through 4. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they're from God. And that word spirit is means spirit. You know, it's a word for angel, angelic. Many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and is in the world. You are from God, though, little children, and have overcome them. And have overcome the spirits, right? Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Very familiar verse. But in context with that, it's reminding you, you know, all these the spirits that's out there, you've already overcome them, right? It's a done deal. All right. 1 John chapter 2, 13. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I've written to you, children, because you know the fathers. All right? Three different times in here, he's letting us, reminding you that you've already overcome the evil one. Y'all, I can't tell you how that'll help us. I'm not saying us because I'm just getting revelation of this too, as in my own personal life, knowing the fact that you're already victorious and you've already overcome it. What am I trying to overcome? Well, you've already overcome it. Okay, now you just got to walk it out, and to make you believe in any form or fashion that that's not true and that you're in such bondage that you'll never be set free is such a deception. Okay. Because I was just, talking to the Lord about this in the last couple of days, and y'all aren't actually moving. I've been having this like vertigo. So is it just me, or y'all are actually moving back? Are y'all moving back and forth? Jeepers! It's just part of the arsenal that the enemy's throwing. We just came, coming back from the One Thing conference was just a really powerful, real encounter with the Lord, and so come back, and then I did okay on the trip, the stuff I have to deal with physically. But I get back, and like the next day, I started having these vertigo things. They come and go, But so it's hard to read when you do that or look down. So y'all just bear with me. If I start going to the right or to the left, just be okay. I'm not drunk in the spirit. Maybe I am. But it was, it was a little discouraging. However, I thought, all right, Lord, you're doing something, just, continually speaking. So I don't see it or feel it, but it's a done deal. So I'm thanking you for it. I'm already in the breakthrough. So, but this is in the book of Revelation, these messages to the churches. And again, we're not going to get it really involved in that, what it all means. I've met people, in my walk with the Lord, there's just all these, post-millennial, pre-millennial, amillennial, and they all say they're right, and they all say the Lord showed them, So, I don't know about that. But I'm a pan-millennialist, which means it'll all pan out, right? You just walk with Jesus, he'll pan, everything's just going to pan out, and you don't have to worry about it, right? So, evidently, he just don't give us the fullness of this. Now, he's not saying that he can't give you some insight into it, right? But anyway, it's not something to worry about. But the message to the churches, though, when he wrote this to the angels, we talked about this in chapel, about the angels that stand over our churches. We have an angel over this church. He wrote to the angels. That's for another day, but we don't call on them enough. We need to, that needs to be a part of our daily life or the angelic activity. Where they come and minister to us and refresh us and speak to us, right? So, anyway, he's writing to these and, to all these churches, we know that. He's correcting some things within that they need to hear. And, but every one of them ends the same, okay? Chapter 2 of Revelation, the first was the message to Ephesus. And we've studied that before, and you know, they had somehow gotten off track with the message of Christ in them, the hope of glory, you know. And they got into toiling and working, you know, for Christ instead of letting Jesus do, you know, somehow they departed from that whole first love thing. But here's what he says. Verse 5. We'll just do a couple of verses in each for time's sake. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen, repent, do the deeds that you did at first. Or else I'm coming to you and will move your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. Don't know what that means, but it doesn't sound good, does it? Yet this you do have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is trying to say, the churches. And to him who hears it, right, and overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. All right? In every one of these, we're going to see this word overcome, like he who has overcome the world. It's taken from two Greek words, from victory, Nike, right? That's where the word Nike comes from, that little slash. It's from victory, right? And to conquer. You take two words, victory and conquer. Slam them together, you got overcomer. Okay? So he who overcomes what the Spirit is saying, right? These who, okay, we're going to repent and get back to it. He says, I'm going to give you, here's the reward. And there's always a reward for the overcomer. Always. This particular one, their reward was, you get to eat of the tree of life now. Not meaning, oh, when you die, you're going to go and we're going to eat it. No, the tree of life now, right? In the heavenly place. In other words, you're going to eat of heavenly things. Okay? If you hear this word to them, okay, get back to who you are and seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Let's get back to that. If you overcome this, then you're going to eat the tree of life. Okay? You know, and I'm learning in my life that, you know, Jesus, you know, when he wants us to overcome something or conquer it, he wants it like overwhelmingly. He don't want me just to barely, woo, we barely got through that, you know, game. You know, kind of like Clemson did to Alabama, you know, just stomp them. That's about it. That's in about this. I'm still yeah, bleeding from that one. But, yeah. And see what it does with an attitude going in there? It's conquer. You know what I mean? It's just same in all. He overcomes. Overwhelming. That word just in Romans 8, overwhelmingly conquer. You know? Thanks be to God who always leads us in His triumph in Christ, manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him. Well, that picture there written in the Greek is like when they would go, the Romans would go conquer someone. They would come into the city, you know, celebrations, and they would have the enemy in chains following behind them. Okay? In that situation. That's how the Lord wants to display it in my personal life and in your personal life. Not that you just, whoo, we barely got there. No, we just conquered. And this thing is now. But the truth is it is in chains. Because Scripture said that God did that to them, right? And they can, and they will follow you if you grab them. And so making a public display of that. And that's what God did. He made a public display of the defeat of the enemy, right? And I think when I saw that, because I've seen it like up there on the altar with, you know, the Hitler thing being crushed, is God wants to make a public display of defeat, you know, rub it in his face kind of. All right, the next, starting in verse 8, you got this message to this church in Smyrna. Can you imagine this being read to you, you know, that we were in Smyrna, okay? And verse 10, do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested. Do you think they would want to give up, right? If you were tested and thrown into prison and all you had to do was give up and I'll release you. And you will have tribulation for 10 days. But be faithful until death. And I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, again, he says this over and over. If you have an ear, hear what the Spirit is trying to say. Okay? And you will not be hurt by the second death. Because second death is, you know, probably I think he's talking about, because it says it in Revelation 20, the second death would be the lake of fire. You're born again. You're going to be okay. You're eternal, guys. That's what he's saying. You're going to be okay. Right? But the whole deal here, we're sending them to overcome. He said, you're about to be tested. Some of you are going to be thrown into prison. You know, hang in there, guys. Because what God is going to give you in this particular overcomer is the crown of life. The crown of life is only spoken of in Scripture in the context of suffering. So the crown of life is like this special crown that God gives for enduring and suffering in a situation. you get the crown of life. Again, that's not this heavenly crown you get when you go there one day. That's true. You'll be able to cast your crowns before the Lord. It's a crown you get now. James says that. You'll receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those. Okay? So it's good that the Lord will do that in our lives. He will speak a promise, right? What He's going to do. Never telling you how you're going to get there. Okay? Thank goodness. And in the midst of it, encourage you. To put courage in you is what that word. To put courage in you so you won't give up. Okay? All right. Next one, the message to Pergamum. And supposedly that's maybe the place that says where Satan's throne was. I don't know if he meant that or the earth. Anyway, we won't worry about that. They had just some false teachings. They were kind of, some of them were grabbing hold of, and, you know, the whole Balaam and Balak thing, probably wanting God to curse people on their behalf, okay? Which never happens, even though we wanted it to happen, right? And they tell them in verse 16, "Repent, or else I'm coming to you quickly, and I'll make war with them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. To him who overcomes, him I will give some of the hidden manna. I'll give him a white stone and a new name written on that stone, which no one knows but the person who receives it." Which is really a cool scripture, y'all. A couple of things the Lord giving us the hidden manna. There's places in Isaiah 45:3 that says God will give you the hidden wealth of secret places. You know, there's always this hidden wealth there. And Jeremiah talks about that, the treasures of darkness, you know, extracting the precious from the worthless kind of thing right here. And overcoming here, there's always that real truth there, that you get this hidden wealth only found in these dark places, right? If you want to mine and get, like, to the best jewels, you got to dig, you got to go, you know what I mean? Go down, you're in, and it's just kind of this picture He's given you that as an overcomer, God's going to give you this hidden manna. And he's gonna like declare this name over you, or a new name that's just between you and Him, written on it. White color, that purity, cleansing that God has done this in you, and He writes and stamps like this name over you, okay? That only you and Him will know. So it's not just like one name He gives. It's just a real intimate thing that He does here. But it's to the one who overcomes, right? The message to Thyatira. Here in starting in verse 18, here's some just cool things. We'll just go where he talks about overcoming. He who overcomes, verse 26, and he who keeps my deed until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter are broken to pieces. Isn't that interesting how the vessels of a potter are broken to pieces while this rod of iron comes forth to rule? As I have received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit again is saying to the churches. So here the overcome, the Lord is saying, because if you read Revelation chapter 12, it says Jesus, with this whole thing about this woman giving birth to this male child, and said he will rule the nations with the rod of iron. Okay? Here, as an overcomer, they will walk in greater authority than they've ever known before. Okay? The rod of iron being Jesus coming forth, and their weaknesses being broken, right? It's about ruling and reigning in life through the one Christ Jesus. So all of these are for us, right? And as an overcomer, overcoming in this situation, then what you begin to walk in more than ever is your authority. Who you are in Christ. Greater authority than you've ever stood or walked in before. Okay? That's a good payoff. Right? You won't know your authority until you put in situations where you have to use your authority, right? And if you can, the enemy can deceive you the whole time, then you will always be in bondage. But a gift of an overcomer is greater authority. And he will give him the morning star, which is just good. I don't know what all that means, but it's like, that word means like dawning, you know, the dawning star. Just think about this. Waking up in life with a feeling of victory and authority that day, right? That's the end process of overcoming. So how many of you wake up like that, just victorious, and whatever comes that way, you're going to conquer it that day, and, you know, ruling and reigning in Christ Jesus? Not very many of us, right? the message to Sardis, starting in chapter 3, verse 3. So remember what you received and heard and keep it. Repent, therefore. If you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you'll not know what hour I will come to you. You have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes will be clothed in white garments. I will not erase his name from the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father, before angels. He who has an ear, again, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. This may not apply, but in areas of most of these guys were, if you read in context here, were probably not saved. All right. And then they kind of repented and returned and they got saved because part of that, you know, erasing the, your name is now in the book of life. But as their overcomer, their gift was just being clothed in garments, white garments. You know, when you're clothed in white garments, simply it means you are just clothed in Christ. That's what that comes from. You are clothed. You now wear, and Bishop always talks about this, is whatever you're wearing is what, you know, you express or whatever. But if you're wearing and you're clothed with Christ, then that's what you will emanate from you. So this one, a gift of the overcomer, is that you will be clothed in white garments. You will be clothed with Christ even more so than you have ever been before. Right? Okay. Message to Philadelphia. Let's do verse 10. Because you have kept the word of my perseverance, this chapter 3, I will keep you from the hour of testing, the hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. I'm coming quickly. Hold fast what you have so that no one will take your crown. See, we can wear crowns. Okay. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. He will not go out from it anymore. I will write on him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down from heaven, from my God, and my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Right? A lot of cool stuff in here, too, about overcoming, making you a pillar in God, which is support. In other words, getting you just anchored and rooted in truth. Okay? You're not going to go out and come in and out anymore, you know, like the waves of the sea that James talks about, that being double-minded. Kelly had a good word about being double-minded here one day. Or you're not tossed back and forth. You just got stable. You're just not going to go in and out anymore. Well, God gets you there through testing, right? With the whole end result making you doing that with you, okay? Making something a pillar and solid and not up and down all the time, right? I don't know about y'all, but in areas of my life, I'm tired of being up and down. Aren't you? Aren't y'all? But it's to the overcomer. He who overcomes remains under. Trusts the Lord with it. Walks with Him. Then that's the end result, right? And we could get into it really, but we're just kind of just covering the bases. All right, the message to Laodicea, verse 20, common verse. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and will dine with him and he with me. This whole context of this about they're saying that they're wealthy, they are everything, and they had really drifted away from their walks with the Lord, and he brought them back saying, hey, you don't know really how absolutely miserable and pathetic and pitiful you are apart from me. That was his whole word to them. And so they said, you're right. Came back to that, verse 21, he who overcomes, I will grant him to sit down with me on my throne. As I have overcame and sat down with my Father on the throne. He has ears to hear, let him hear. So great words as an overcomer. And you think of that, of course, about being seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Taking your seat where you belong. With everything under your feet. Because it's already under his feet, right? So I think of God bringing you into a place of real rest, right? As you overcome, the end result is about you will rest in the Lord like you never have done before. Okay? Rest in Him emotionally. Rest in Him that He's already got this, you know. And we've kind of become our language right now. Well, the Lord's in control, right? He's already got a plan. It's already under His feet. He's already done the deal. So, Lord, help me to get to this place where I sit in that reality. And He's like, okay. Let me torture faith there a little bit, you know. Not torturism, but kind of as in fire, right? Now, if the enemy knew all this, would he do all that, knowing that that's the place he's going to bring you? He knows the word, right? He's just trying to make you quit. where you're not an overcomer. Great thing that God does in you to overcome, right? And you'll have a billion opportunities, right? So there may be an area you think, man, I didn't overcome. And they say, well, you get another chance. Don't worry about it. He's got it. So Lord, help us become, we're just right on the verge, Lord, I believe, and not only corporately, where you're moving us to a new place, but individually, Lord. I just keep seeing that. People are just right there on the edge, ready to just plunge in. And the enemy's throwing everything at him he can to make them just quit. Lord, you tell us you give us, you're the God of all perseverance. So, Lord, may we run to the battle. Clear things up for us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.